Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is sponsored in the schus of a shidduch for Yosef ben Dina Golda. Sham shidduch, including all those who need a shidduch b'karav. Just one quick mazel tov to Mrs. Neiman, one of our regulars. She had a baby girl. I hear about the girls also.
I don't know why they tell you.
She does makeup and my wife does makeup, so they've been trading around. Okay, so today, Bez Hashem, we're going to start the halachos of Bishul, cooking, on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah, in his introduction to the halachos of Shabbos, he says that if a person does not know all the halachos of Shabbos, and he doesn't take out the time to study them, then it's inevitable that a person is going to transgress the transgress Shabbos. And he says this is especially true when it comes to the halachos of Bishul. Bishul is something that has many, many details, and we're involved with it every Shabbos in regards to hot plates and blechs and crock pots and all different types of food, chont and tea and soup and a baby bottle, and there's many, many midrabanans that we'll have to discuss. So this is something that is very important. Obviously, we've avoided it all the way up until now. We've learned many, many other malachos, but now, Bez Hashem, we're going to start the halachos of Bishul. Now, it's clear from the Gemara that Bishul doesn't mean only cooking. Bishul includes... I think she's put it on mute. She should put it on mute.
Right. Yeah, I think she did. Rivka? Oh, she's got it on mute.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm muted.
Okay, good. We want to make sure you're muted.
So it's clear from the Gemara that Bishul doesn't mean only cooking. Bishul means also baking and frying and roasting and things like that. So every time, the Mishnah even says Oifa, which is baking. So every time we talk about the halachos of Bishul, this will include all those other cases, and we have to get into all the details. So just one or two very important disclaimers before we start. Many times there's questions during the class, which are very important. I feel that the questions add to the shiur very, very much. Questions that maybe other people didn't think of, or even if they did think of it, but they were embarrassed to call it out. So I feel the questions add a lot to the shiur. Just a lot of times, as you all know, this is it's a question that's something we're going to get to. And I'll tell you all the time, we'll get there, give me a chance. Especially by the halachos of Bishul, there's many, many aspects to the halachos of Bishul. And let's try to keep the questions on something that was already said. If it's something that we'll get there, so then maybe I'll tell you that other halachas, we're going to get to that, but we're going to have to take it step by step and work methodically. We could spend the entire winter on Bishul. I don't want to spend the entire winter on Bishul. There's other halachas I want to accomplish, but I'm going to have to leave a few things out. If somebody has a question, and it's in my notes from that I was planning on skipping, so I'll tell you the answer. But we're going to have to move quickly, and we're going to have to skip a few things. We'll say whatever is important, whatever is no gap. Okay. So basically, the translation of the word bishul of cooking means using of heat to alter the quality of an item. Any using of heat that alters the quality of an item. Meaning you can make something hard that was soft, you can make something soft that was hard. We'll see that it applies by foods and by non-foods as well. But any use of heat to alter the quality of an item. It's mutter to cook in the sun. We're going to skip those halachos as far as taking an egg and in a magnifying glass, like my kids like to do with the leaves, and to cook outside, cooking on a car, and things like that. We're going to skip those halachos. It's not so very practical. The halacha is that the malacha of Bishul applies even by foods that are edible raw. Even if you have a food that is totally edible raw, like a fruit or a vegetable or water that is edible raw, as you all know, the halachos apply by over there as well. There are mapaskins that cooking applies there as well. It's a discussion. Is it deraisim? Is it rabbanon? But most come out that it's mederaisa. So those applies by all fruits and vegetables, even if it's edible raw, as water, as you all know, it applies over there as well. Keep in mind that every time we talk about the malacha of Bishul, this is distinct from the malacha of Havara, right? There are 39 malachos, many of which we've covered already. The malacha of Bishul, of cooking, is not connected necessarily to the malacha of Havara, kindling, making a fire. So I'm talking about even if you have a fire on the stove that was there from before Shabbos, and you're not striking a match or anything like that, but that is a separate malacha that, of course, also you have to be careful about. But all the malachas of Bishul is, even if the fire was there from before, you have to be careful for the malachas of Bishul. This includes hot plates and urns and electric grains all plugged in before Shabbos. So that's not an issue. It's not Havara as far as that, but as far as Bishul. Microwave, we're not going to get involved in the big machlokas if microwave is considered cooking or not. Midrash and midrabanan. Just don't use a microwave on Shabbos. That which it's usher to cook on Shabbos is midrashah. It's forbidden according to Torah law. This is true even if you don't make the item fully cooked. Even if you make the item only what we call Michael ben Drusai. Michael ben Drusai, that is a term we're going to use many, many times, so let's get it clear. Michael ben Drusai, Michael means a food, and ben Drusai was a name of a person. He was a robber, and the way it was that he was always on the run, he always needed to eat on the run, and he used to steal food, and he used to have to cook it very quickly, and then he used to have to run away because the police or whoever was after him, so he had to cook something what was just barely basically edible. So once a person cooks something from raw to the level of Maichel Ben Drusai, barely edible, that is also midaraisa. That is enough of a physical change in the food to say that that is considered Bishul midaraisa. There is a Machlay, I asked my Rosh Hashiva actually, if this Ben Drusai, he was a Rosh, he was a big robber, did he have to have some type of schus to have like a halachic term in Hilchos Shabbos named after him? He said for sure he had to have some type of schus. He doesn't know what it was, but he said he had to have some type of schus, whoever this was, Ben Drusai. I don't even know if he was a Yid or a Goy, but he cooked his food to barely edible, and that, if you cook it to that level, that is considered midaraisa. How much cooked is considered Michael Ben Drusai? That is a machlokes. Either it's 1/3 cooked or it is 1/2 cooked. Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. We will go according to the strict opinion either way, because it's not clear exactly how we paskin. Usually half is considered the chumrah, but in this case, when you're cooking from raw to Michael ben Drusai, even if you cook it only 1/3 of the amount, that is considered bishul midaraisa. So that, of course, nobody's going to do. Not going to take something raw and cook it to 1/3 of the way cooked, so that's also midaraisa. But the halacha is that even if a food is already Michael ben Drusai, you have a food that from before Shabbos was already cooked to the level of Michael ben Drusai, and a person goes ahead on Shabbos and they cook it from Michael ben Drusai to fully cooked, that is also Osir Midiraisa. It was cooked from before Shabbos. I plugged it in or whatever it was, and I cooked it on a stovetop, whatever it is. I cooked it Michael ben Drusai before Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's still Osir Midiraisa to cook it from Michael ben Drusai to fully cooked. Other places can say even more that if it's Michael ben Drusai before Shabbos and you just cook it a little bit better, not only to fully cooked, but you just raise the level, you cook it a little bit more, that is also forbidden. Perhaps midaraisa, perhaps midarabanan, but that is also not allowed. Many say that that's also forbidden midaraisa. So that's something you need to be very careful of, not just raw to Michael ben Drusai, but also Michael ben Drusai to fully cooked. And we're going to get to many of those, many more halachos in regards to the halachos of Michael ben Drusai to fully cooked, because that applies very, very often. You have something that is semi-cooked before Shabbos, the chant and things like that. What can I do on Shabbos? We have to discuss all these many different scenarios from Michael ben Drusai to fully cooked. If you take chant Friday night, one example, which we're going to get back to many, many times. It's just one example just to show you this. Let's say you want to have some chant Friday night. Your husband probably, not you. Your husband wants to take some chant, or your kids want to have some chant Friday night. So they take, we're going to discuss separately all the halachos of Chazara, holding it and having in mind to put it back. We all know some of those halachos. So you take the chant off and you make sure to hold it. You make sure to have in mind. Very nice. You need to have it that the chant was fully cooked at that time. It has to be fully cooked. When you take off the chont Friday night, you will not be allowed to put it back on the crock pot. If you have one bean that is not fully cooked, it is usher to put the crock pot back in the cylinder, back in the crock pot. The fact that you have silver foil, the fact that you have a blech, and you have whatever you want, that doesn't help for bishul. All those things don't help for cooking. If you're cooking, that is not allowed on Shabbos. And since we're saying Michael ben Drusai to fully cooked is usher, so if this chont is not fully cooked, every single bean is not fully cooked, then even if you take it off with the best intentions, you cannot put it back on Shabbos. We'll discuss more of the details as far as taking off and putting it back on Friday night and things like that, but that is just one halacha that it has to be every item in the pot needs to be fully cooked if you want to be able to put it back on the fire. Anyways, these are all basically midaraisa. some opinions midrabanan, but mostly we pass in that these are deraisa. Anyway, there's another halacha midrabanan that the Shulchan Aruch says the following: you're not allowed to put something on a fire on Shabbos, even if you plan on putting it there for a very short time. I'm going to take it off way before it reaches Michael Ben Josiah. Put something raw on Shabbos, and I know that I'll take it off before I have my someone else in my family to remind me to take it off before it reaches Michael Ben Josiah. Still, you are not allowed to put it there because we are afraid you may forget and you may not remove it before it reaches Michael Ben Josiah. Even if you have a reminder, you're still not allowed to place it there. As long as it can reach the level of Michael Ben Josiah, you are not allowed to place it there because we are afraid you may not remove it. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that even if it's on a Shabbos clock, even if we're talking about you put it on Shabbos, even if there's a Shabbos clock set that the oven or the hot plate or wherever it is, the crock pot will go off before this food reaches Michael Ben Josiah, you are still not allowed, even if the Shabbos clock, right? Because we don't differentiate. He says one exception, which is not so negay nowadays, but even if you have a Shabbos clock that the crock pot or the hot plate will go off before it reaches Michael Ben Josiah, still we say that is not allowed. So if you have, let's say, frozen concentrate, frozen apple juice, and you want it to thaw, so you want to put it on a fire or on a hot plate or something like that, and you're going to take it off. You just wanted to get out, you know, the fact that it's frozen, not you're not going to cook it. Midrabanan, you are still not allowed to do that because we are afraid you may leave it there until it could get cooked. If it's in a place where it can never reach Yatzla, despite what we'll talk, or it can never reach Machal Ben Josai, then that is not a problem. But if it can reach that level, then even if you plan on taking it off before, that is not allowed. Another case, let's say you're out in the rain and your coat or your socks or your outfit, whatever it is, gets totally sopping wet. So you want to just put it on the radiator just to dry up. Since it can reach the level of cooking, those there, it's liquid, it's Yatzla, which we'll discuss in a moment, even if you just put it there for a few minutes just to dry up a little bit, that is also not allowed Midrabanan, because we are afraid you may leave it there until it could reach that level. So that's all by solids. This Michael Ben Josiah that we discussed, from raw to Michael Ben Josiah and Michael Ben Josiah to cooked, those are all by solids. By liquids, there's a different level. This is all just laying the groundwork. We'll get to many, many examples shortly. By liquids, it's what we call yad soledispo. Yad means a hand, of course. Soledispo means to draw back. So yad soledispo. So if the liquid can reach the level of yad soledispo, that the liquid is so hot that if you would stick your finger in it, you would have to draw back your finger or draw back your hand, then we say for liquids, that is considered cooking. If you have liquid that is cold, and let's say it's always been cold, and you want to, and you make it from to the level of yad soledispo, then now it reaches the level that you would stick your finger, you'd have to pull back. That is cooking midaraisa. So now the Mishnah Berurah says many paiskim say, and we're not going to get into the details, but basically we come out that you can't test for yourself what is considered yad soledispo. Oh, if you could, you know, stick your finger there and you don't pull it back right away, so then evidently that's not considered yad soledispo. We can't judge based on that. It's not 100% clear how many degrees is considered yad soledispo. Could be another term that you've heard of, that the Mishnah Berurah, the Gemara explains even more, that if the stomach of a baby would get burned, that's also, they say, similar to the level of yad soledispo. Basically, the place can come out that we can't judge for ourselves. So there's many opinions how many degrees is considered yad soledispo. So we'll go with what Moshe Feinstein says. Moshe Feinstein says that at 110 degrees Fahrenheit, at that point you have to suspect that maybe that is yad soledispo. We're not positive that that's yad soledispo, but perhaps 110 degrees is considered yad soledispo. So you are not allowed to put a liquid somewhere if it could reach the level of 110 degrees Fahrenheit. And again, even if you plan on taking it off before, so to over here, we're afraid you're going to forget, and that will reach the level of yad soledispo. If it could reach 110 degrees, you are not allowed to put it there. Near a fire, we'll talk about blechs and different spots on the blech, on top of the fire, near the fire, we'll get to all those halachos, but 110 degrees we have to suspect perhaps is yad soledispo. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that only at 160 degrees do we say is it for sure yad soledispo. Only at 160 degrees is it for sure yad soledispo, and that'll be nogeya in many other halachos as far as water that was cooked up and then it got cooled off and you want to reheat it, we'll discuss all those halachos separately, Bez Hashem. But we're going to go through Moshe Feinstein that 110 degrees perhaps is Yad Soledespo, and 160 degrees, can we say, is definitely Yad Soledespo. Fine. That's as far as cooking on Shabbos. Another case that is forbidden midaraisa is what we call mikarev bishulo, to accelerate the cooking process. Meaning all the cases that we're talking about until now is where I go ahead and I put something on a fire, I put something in a crock pot, I put something on a hot plate, or different examples which we'll discuss more. But let's say something is already there, and if I would leave it, it'll get cooked. Eventually it'll get cooked, but I want it to get cooked quicker. My guests are coming and I want it to get cooked quicker. So the halacha is that that is also forbidden midaraisa, to be mekarev bishulei, to make something cook quicker, to accelerate the cooking process. That is also forbidden midaraisa. That is considered cooking. So even if it's already on the flame, as long as you treat it in some way that makes it get cooked faster, quicker, that is also forbidden midaraisa. So we're going to say five examples of things that are of acts that are mekarev bishulei, that are making, accelerating the cooking process. Five examples. The first two examples are very, very simple. The other three get a little more complicated, but the first two examples are very, very simple. Obviously, you can't raise a flame under a pot of water, a pot of some other type of food. If the flame is already there from before Shabbos, obviously you can't go ahead and raise the flame. That is cooking. Besides, that's also Havara, which we discussed before. Here you would be doing both of those malachos. You raise the flame, that is, even if you're not making a new fire, perhaps that's Moilid, but even if you raise the flame, that's also Havara. But besides, that is cooking. Obviously, that example is obvious. You can't raise the flame. The second example, which is also pretty obvious and very simple, is that a food that is not fully cooked, you're not allowed to move closer to the fire. Meaning, even if the fire is on from before Shabbos and I don't raise the flame whatsoever, but if it's at a certain distance, it's not fully cooked yet. We'll discuss separately if it's already fully cooked. But if it's not fully cooked yet and I move it closer to the fire, even with a blech, even with a pot underneath, all these things, if it's not fully cooked yet and you move it closer to the fire, like we said before, a blech and a silver foil and all these things, that doesn't help for cooking. So if you move it closer to the fire, that is also mekarev bishulei, that is accelerating the cooking process, and that is not allowed midaraisa to do on Shabbos. Those are the first two examples of mekarev bishulei. Very simple: raising the flame and moving the pot, the food, closer to the fire. The third example is reducing the amount of food or liquid in a pot. If you have a certain amount of food in a pot or water in an urn and you reduce that amount, so if the food or the water, the liquid, was not fully cooked yet and now I remove some of the food, so then the rest of the food that remains gets to be cooked quicker, that is also considered mekarev bishulei. So the example we said before as far as taking chalent Friday night, which we're going to discuss many times, but taking chalent Friday night, so we said before, if it's not fully cooked, you can't put it back on the crock pot, even with a silver foil and with rocks and all those things, because if it's not fully cooked, if you have one bean that's not fully cooked, so it's cooking it. Besides that problem, when you take some of the chalent out, then that is also considered mekarev bishulei, because the fact that now there's less chalent inside there, so then that makes it able to be cooked quicker. That many binyan poskim can say that that is also considered mekarev bishulei. So let's say I have an urn, and I have the water in the urn Friday night. If the water in the urn Friday night, and I want to have a cup of tea Friday night, so if the water there is not fully boiled yet, when I remove some of the water for my tea, for my coffee, whatever it is, the rest of the water, many places can say that that is also considered mekarev bishulei, because now there's less water inside. I caused that there's less water, and then because of that, the water will be cooked quicker. So now, that's very simple to understand, that if it's not fully cooked, the water is not fully boiled yet, and then I remove, then it's going to get cooked quicker. This is true even if the food is off the flame. Like we said before, you take the chalent off of the pot, even if at that point you take off, even though it's off, but still it's very hot, the chalent is still very hot, when you remove, it'll make it cook quicker. Rav Moshe Feinstein adds something very important, and the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says is also, when you have an urn Friday night, so everyone wants to know, I've been asked this question many times, and I myself have wondered this question. So when I set up an urn, I want hot water over Shabbos, does it have to be fully boiled before Shabbos or not? A lot of people want to know that halacha. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says a very interesting chashash, a very interesting gzeira. He says that the urn that you set up before Shabbos, the water should be fully boiled, the fully boiled point, I'm sorry, I should have said before, when we had Yatzel Ledesbo, that 160 degrees is for sure Yatzel Ledesbo, there's one level higher than that, and that's 212 degrees, which is the bubbling, which is the boiling point. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says the water should be have already reached its boiling point of 212 degrees from before Shabbos, because you are afraid that you may, we're afraid that you may take some of the water out on Friday night, and because of that, the water will now reach quicker to the boiling point. So he says that already from before Shkia, the water should be totally boiled. It should already reach the level of 212 degrees before Shabbos. Not everybody agrees that to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying his own chash, his own gzera, that we're afraid you may come to take tea. Now you're thinking, oh, by the time my husband comes home from shul, and then by the time I get to dessert, that I want to have my tea, oh, by that time for sure it's going to be boiled. But we don't differentiate about that. It could be you'll want to have a tea right away. Maybe your husband will come home very quickly and you want to have a tea right away. That's the chash Rav Moshe Feinstein says. The Chazon Ish argues, he says, we don't suspect such a thing. And even Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that Rav Moshe never really meant you have to. It just says it's a nice thing. He just really meant it's a nice thing. The Shmir Shabbos Kachoso, for other reasons that we can't get into yet, because we didn't discuss the halachos of Chazara, which we'll get to later as far as putting things back. The Shmir Shabbos Kachoso also says that it's better, he says, to have the water totally boiled, Zman Rav, a long time already before Shabbos. It's based on the Tosfos for Chazara, which we're not going to get into now. So what I will tell you to do is the following. Unless you're really, really afraid as far as your kids touching the water, and you really want to have the water there, you know, as for as short a amount of time as possible, you don't want to set up the water until they leave to shul already, preferably speaking, you should have your hot water urn totally boiled from before Shabbos. That's what Moshe Feinstein says it's better to do. The Shmir Shabbos Kachosa says you should really do. You should have it totally boiled before Shabbos. If you forget, or like I said, if you have some specific fear that you have for whatever reason that you can't boil it before Shabbos, then definitely you'll have what to rely on to put it up right before Shabbos. But again, but you still have to be careful that if it's not fully boiled and you want to have a cup of tea Friday night, you can't take out the water, because many, many Paiskim say that taking out the water is considered reducing it, as all these Paiskim are assuming. But that is preferably what should be done. Yeah.
If most urns don't really boil the water,
it doesn't reach the 212?
If it's not
physically possible, the urn, because of the urn or whatever it is, that it won't make it more, so fine, then perhaps that wouldn't be a problem.
And it's never bubbling in that, like with the you know, the pump ones.
Right.
It's very hot, the water, but it's not like boiling it on.
So if okay,
it's like 190.
190. Okay, if it can't reach 212 degrees, then you're never worried about 212 degrees. However, hold on one second. However, if it's less than 160 degrees, like we said, that 160 degrees we can assume is for sure Yatzel Ledesbo. If, let's say, I'm just giving you a number, it's only 140 degrees, when I take out more, when I take out water Friday night, and that'll make it get to 160 degrees, or make it go higher quicker, then that's also Bishul. If it's past 160, and it'll never reach 212, then you're right, you really have nothing to worry about. But if it's less than 160, a specific urn, and sometimes there'll be a degrees thing, it'll say the level, and sometimes you're not sure. If you're not sure, the Bir Halacha says you have to be careful. All these cases that you're not sure, is it considered fully cooked yet? He says, yeah, misafik, since it's a doubt, you have to be careful. But yeah, technically you're right. If you know for a fact it's 160, and you know for a fact that it'll never reach 212, then yeah, then perhaps that's okay.
Doesn't it have a light?
At least according to Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Isn't there a light that tells you that it's boiled?
It says boiled.
Right, but what does boiled mean? I don't know. Does boiled mean officially it's really 212? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but as long as it goes as hot as it goes, then you don't really have a problem, right? I mean, even if it goes to...
If it's already at its hottest point, then yeah. Then, yeah. If it's already at its hottest point, yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Maybe this has to do with Chazaras. Maybe I'm jumping ahead.
Right.
But let's say you have a pot of soup on the blech. I always thought that you're allowed to move it away, not lifting it, just like slide it away and slide it like a little closer.
Okay, that's all Chazara issues.
But it's putting it back closer.
Okay, but probably you're talking about a soup that was already fully cooked, no? We only spoke about things that are not fully cooked yet.
Right, it is fully cooked.
Okay, so we'll get there, Bez Hashem. All the things that we're talking about by not fully cooked yet, and then even if I remove it, I put it back, so I put something back that was not fully cooked yet. If it was fully cooked, we'll get there shortly. Maybe today, maybe not. So that's as far as case number three, as far as reducing food. Number four, case number four of Makar Vishulei is stirring the food. When you stir food, that also accelerates the cooking. So that's what we call Hagasa, stirring the food, and that is also forbidden Mideraisa, to stir the food on Shabbos. So again, if you have...
Even if it's fully cooked.
What's up? Okay, give me a chance. If the food is only partially cooked, you're right. We'll talk. If the food is only partially cooked, then you're not allowed to stir it if it's hot now. If it's cold, so then, even if it's not fully cooked, but if it's cold when I stir it, nothing's going to happen. If it's still hot and I go ahead and stir it, that will make it cook quicker. This is true even if it's removed from the fire. Again, it's not fully cooked and it's still hot. Even if it's removed from the fire or the stove, as long as it's still hot, when I stir it, that will cause it to cook more. The Shulchan Aruch says, as I'm sure many of you know, again, still talking about not fully cooked, that not only can't you stir it, but you also can't take out food with a spoon. If you scoop out from the pot, the chont or whatever it is, then that automatically is considered stirring it. When I stick my spoon underneath my ladle, whatever it is, I stick it in the bottom, that'll automatically make it stir, and the stirring is considered forbidden, and therefore taking out with a spoon is forbidden. Perhaps this is only midrabanan, but that is also not allowed. Rabbi Yashiv says, and others, that if you have just like...
password, then press pound.
That's not me.
Okay. The Rabbi Yashiv says that if you take from a spoon, with a spoon, not to the bottom of the pot, but you just have like a potato stuck on the top, that he says you'd be allowed to do. You're not going ahead and mixing it, and you're not scooping with a spoon, you're just taking out from the top. That is allowed even if it's not fully cooked. That would be allowed.
A spoon specifically, as opposed to a different type of
thing? A fork would even be more lenient. A fork, because there's less of a chance, when this in Krelet says there's less of a chance you're going to stir it with a fork. Usually we stir with a spoon, halachas we were discussing last week by Lush, but a fork would be even more permitted, but not to the bottom of the pot. If you take out just with a fork to the top of the pot, that we'll see shortly, that'll be even more lenient. But even with a spoon, that'll be allowed. So that which we've been discussing till now about mixing and taking with a spoon is by foods that are not fully cooked yet. Let's say the food is fully cooked. Am I allowed to go ahead and stir with food that is already fully cooked? So the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says that if the food is fully cooked, you are allowed to take with a spoon. Okay, I'll explain this, but the Shulchan Aruch says if the food is fully cooked already, you are allowed to go ahead and take with a spoon. You're allowed to scoop out from the bottom of the pot and take with a spoon. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to know, it's a big discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, where exactly was the Shulchan Aruch talking about? He's talking about fully cooked, and he says you could take with a spoon. Is he talking about where the pot is still on the fire, or is he talking about where the pot is off of the fire? So the Mishnah Berurah says, from Nayi Rabba, the Mishnah Berurah says that this is only permitted, the Shulchan Aruch says it's permitted to take with a spoon if it's fully cooked. The Mishnah Berurah says this is only permitted if it's off of the fire. If it's still on the fire, in other words, it's still on the hot plate, it's still on in the crock pot, that's the heating element, that is not allowed. Surely to go ahead and mamish and stir it, that would not be allowed. But even to take with a spoon, as long as it's still on the crock pot, it's still on the fire, that would not be allowed. Now, you may be wondering, I said we're talking about a case of fully cooked. So it's fully cooked. So why can't I mix it? Why can't I take with a spoon? What's going to happen? It's fully cooked. What am I improving? A big, big discussion why exactly this is not allowed. They say many, many different svaras to try to explain why this is the case. Well, some say they're not even 100% sure why this is forbidden. Basically, they say that even if you, overall, this food is fully cooked, but there are still some parts that are really not fully cooked, and the fact that you mix it or scoop with it, it does improve it, and it mixes it around, and it spreads the heat all over, universally, uniformly, all over. So they say that is not allowed. There's many svaras try to explain why this is forbidden, but that is forbidden, what the Mishnah Berurah says. Even if it's fully cooked, as long as it's on the fire, that is not allowed. To take with a spoon, or surely to go ahead and mix it.
With a fork?
With a fork, then from the top, then we say that will be allowed. Yeah, even if it's on. If it's just simply from the top.
But
that this in Karel and 6.
Pot,
sorry?
But you're not allowed to uncover a pot.
We'll discuss uncovering. We'll discuss uncovering. That's going to be example number 5.
So
let's say, hold on 1 second.
If you want to eat it.
What I said was talking about if it's on the fire. If it's on the fire, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Shulchan Aruch never said it was permitted to go ahead and stir it and to take with a spoon. If it's on the fire, that is not allowed. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about when it's off of the fire. Again, we're talking about fully cooked food. When it's off of the fire. So when it's off of the fire, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's where the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to go ahead and take with a spoon. As far as the rules of Chazara putting it back, we'll get to Bez Hashem in the future. But you take the chont off of the pot, off of the cylinder, then you are allowed to go ahead and take with a spoon. How about to go ahead, mamish, and mix it? You take something off of the fire, take the chont pot off of the cylinder off of the crock pot, it's fully cooked. Am I allowed to go ahead and mix it? The Shulchan Aruch says I'm allowed to take with a spoon. That makes it sound like you're not allowed to go ahead and mix it. Actually go ahead and mix it. So that is a big discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it's permitted. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that it's not permitted. Sometimes, you know, you take off, you know, you do that Shabbos morning, you could do that. You take off the crock pot, and let's say you have no intention of putting it back. It's not, you're ready to serve the Shabbos day Suda. You take the crock pot, you put it down on the counter. Can you go ahead and mix it? It's still very hot, obviously. Can you go ahead and mix it? Can you go ahead and mix it? You're allowed to take with a spoon, right? That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Mishnah Berurah, you take it off the fire, even though it's very hot, it's fully cooked, you're allowed to gesundheit, you could go ahead and take with a spoon. I'm allowed to go ahead and mix it. So Mishnah Berurah seems to say that it's better not to. He says it's good to be machmir, not to. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, really, you are allowed to do it. I know the English Svarim say that if you really need to mix it, you know, Rabbi Ribi Yatzev says, if you really need to mix it, you want to rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein, fine, you're allowed to go ahead and mix it. It'll be a nice thing. You don't have to go ahead and mix it. Some people, myself included, they like mixing things. Whenever I see a salad on the table in my own house, I go ahead and mix it. I like just making sure everything is all mixed, say with salad dressing or something's hot, or I like mixing it. Something that's hot like that, preferably on Shabbos, should not be mixed. But again, it's not, you can't say it's forbidden. Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to say that it's mutter, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you could take with a spoon, says that it's not only taking with a spoon, it's even actually going ahead and mixing. But again, I'm talking about fully cooked, which your chillin' Shabbos morning basically is, it really is, and off of the heating element, off of the fire. Skip that. Right. When we're discussing all these halachas, before we get to example number 5 as far as covering a pot, all these halachas that we're discussing, that's why I keep saying an example of chillin', is where there is a solid plus a liquid. Chillin' is basically that, there's a solid plus a liquid. That the Paiskim say, that's what we're referring to over here. If you have just a solid, only a solid, let's say a potato kugel, or chicken that there's no other juice over there, if that's the way you make it. So if it's just a solid, there's a discussion in the Paiskim, Rabbi Yashiv says that that is permitted. You're allowed to touch it with your fork, with your spoon, with a knife, and to move it around, whatever you would consider mixing, by just the solid, that is allowed. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, and Rabbi Yashiv, that you're allowed to cut the potato kugel even while it's on the fire. I'm talking about fully cooked. Fully cooked. You're allowed to, if it's, possibly it's even if it's not fully cooked, right? Because we're saying by solid, it doesn't spread things around. Even if the kugel is not fully cooked, but you want to have a piece of kugel now, or you want to give it to somebody, even if it's not fully cooked, since it's just a solid, we say that any mixing that would be considered, that would be permitted if it's just a solid. Also, the exact opposite, let's say it's just a liquid. Let's say you have chicken soup with no vegetables inside of it, or just water. So also, place come over there, it's a big machlekes, is that permitted to go ahead and mix just a liquid? Again, not shalom, that's a liquid and a solid, and not something like a potato kugel that's just a solid, but let's say it's just a liquid. So that is a big machlokes. Some say it's forbidden. Many places can say that it's permitted because the heat is already equally all over the place. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says it's permitted, Rabbi Yashiv and others. I know Rabbi Ribiad goes with that. I don't know how much it's nogea as far as mixing, but let's say you have a chicken soup with no vegetables, nothing inside of it, and you want to take off, you want to take a ladle and scoop out a bowl of chicken soup while it's still on the fire. So that would be this machlekes. Some say it's permitted, and some say that it would be forbidden. Yeah, definitely the best would be if you remove the chicken soup from the fire. Again, if the chicken soup has some vegetables inside as some other solids, then anyways, that would not be permitted. But if it's just the liquid, that would be this huge machlekes. If you can do it while it's still on the fire, because perhaps if it's liquid, it's already uniformly, universally equal all over. So that is something that can't say it's totally forbidden, it's a big machlekes, but that should be avoided. Hold on 1 second. Two more halachas in regards to this example number 4, and that is, let's say, pouring water into more water. Meaning, let's say I have not cold water into hot water, that of course is not allowed, but we'll discuss those halachas separately. But let's say I have hot water and I want to pour it into other hot water that is on the fire. So that will depend on this. You know, when you pour it in, so that mishes all around, that makes the water that's on the fire, that mixes it, Again, also, some say that's forbidden, some say it is permitted if you pour it slowly. Not so nageya, but what is very nageya is the following question, which I think you one time raised. Let's say you come downstairs Shabbos morning, and you see that your chont is all dried out, and you want to add water to your chont. So chont, there's still some liquid over there, but it's very, very dry, and you want to add, you still have a few hours to the Suda, so you want to add hot water. Of course, you can't add cold water to the crock pot on Shabbos, but let's say you want to add hot water. So you have your urn right over here, it's plugged in, and you have your crock pot right over here. Can I add water, hot water, it's fully hot, into the crock pot Shabbos morning? So the problem is that the water that you transfer from the urn to the crock pot, that also like mixes around, it makes things mix around over there. So preferably what you should do is the following. You're allowed to pick up the crock pot, take it out, preferably to do it off of the fire, because if it's on the fire, that's what we said before, that preferably you shouldn't. If it's on the fire, you mix it, it's like mixing into it. The Mishnah Berurah says it shouldn't be if it's on the fire. So you should take the crock pot out of the, take the cylinder out of the crock pot, hold it underneath the urn with all having in mind that you'll put it back and not leave and go and things like that, which we have to discuss separately. And then you could turn on the urn, open up the faucet, whatever you call it, spout, and the water goes directly into the crock pot. That is permitted to do on Shabbos. Now, sometimes it's hard to do. You're afraid, you know, if you're not going to move the urn because it's plugged in, but you can move the crock pot. And anyways, you don't want to pick up the urn and move it there because you don't want to do it while the crock pot is on the heating element. But take the crock pot out, preferably to do it directly from the urn to the crock pot, not to use a cup in between. Let's say there's nobody home. Your husband already left the shul and your children are not strong enough to help you carry it. Preferably not to use a cup in between. So you take a cup and put the water straight in and put into the cup and the cup into the crock pot. Preferably not. That gets involved in regards to the lachos of Chazar. It's called pina mamecham mamecham. They're those that are mekel. So if you have no other choice, let's say you're a caterer and you can't lift up the crock pot, it's very, very heavy. Or let's say you have no silver foil in your crock pot. So if you take it off, you can't put it back, which we'll discuss those lachos. So then we say, b'di'evad, you are allowed to rely on that. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Sha'artin says you're allowed to rely on that to use a cup in between. So if you need to use a cup in between, you would be allowed to. Better to be able to take out the crock pot from the cylinder, from the crock pot, and put it directly under the urn and put the water directly in. Again, we're talking about where everything is already fully cooked.
Just one thing you have to be careful of, I think, is the zeya.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're gonna get to that.
Very good. Deal with that, because the urn is used for milk very often.
Definitely. I have it right here in my notes. I was gonna say it, but
sorry.
I just saw there was sun.
We've been there, done that.
Okay. So the halacha is that, of course, when you have steam going up into your urn, so perhaps, possibly, it depends how close you hold your crock pot to the urn. But if the steam goes up, that may cause problems in regards to making your urn fleishiks. Chances are you're going to want to have a coffee with milk. So yeah, of course you have to be careful with the halachos of zeya as far as the steam going up. Keep it at a distance. You may not want to do that. You have hot water, you know, spritzing down, all the way, you know, far away. So you may not want to do that. Is that enough of a reason to rely on those that say that you could use a cup in between? Perhaps, maybe. So if you want to avoid that, yeah, you have to be careful with the halachos of zeya. Yeah.
Does the water, that's why we tested the water temperature of our urn, because my husband told me that it has to be hot, like boiled, because otherwise it's cooking it once you put it back on the crock pot.
That's not a problem. The reason why that's not a problem is because we'll get to the halachos of Ein Bishel Acha Bishel, is that as long as it was once cooked at one point, I shouldn't say that. If your crock pot never reaches the fully boiled point, never reaches the fully boiled point, but then when you put it into the crock pot, it'll get to fully boiled, then you're 100% right. Then should be avoided. Yeah, then you're right. Then your husband's right. Yeah, then it should be avoided.
So you should test your urn temperature first.
Okay, if you're going to do that, yeah, you should test your urn temperature. Yeah.
What if you have a coffee that you want to reheat a little bit, cool off? Am I allowed to add hot water?
Okay, so that's a very good question, but that is liquid that was fully cooked and then it cooled off. We have to get to those halachas. That's cooled off. The urn example that we just gave, it didn't cool off in between. We have to discuss as far as liquids that cooled off, we're going to get to that. Let's say you have a bowl of soup that your kid never touched. Can I put it back in the pot? Liquids that cooled off, stop, I want to heat something up from the refrigerator and it cooled off in between. Obviously, take it out of the fridge. We're going to have to get to that. We'll get to that. That's a shame. Yeah.
If you have potato kugel that isn't fully cooked,
right,
it's on the flame, you are allowed to take a piece of it?
If there's no liquid involved, then that will be allowed. Yeah. Even if it's on the flame. Yeah.
I'm sorry, just just back to the temperatures. I guess I'm a little confused. Like, if it's, let's say the average urine is 190.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, since it's above 160, is it still a problem? Or it has
is what still like a problem? To take out?
Yeah.
To put it in the crock pot.
Oh, to put it in the crock pot.
Right.
I'm
saying the urn is 180, 190.
So I would imagine, it seems that if the crock pot would make it reach 212, then we say that should not be allowed. There are those that say that that's only midrabanan, to make it from yatzo ledes bo to boiling, but that should still not be done. But if it's already reached its highest point, then it won't go any higher in the crock pot, then that will be allowed.
If you take the water out of the urn and put it in a cup and then put it in the crock pot, you cool the water off.
That's another problem. Right? As far as besides pina lamecha lamecham, perhaps now that it's considered a klisheni, in the other cup, and now you wanted to ask, when it's a klisheni, and then when you pour it into the other one, so then that makes it into klirishon, but that's not a problem, because the only klisheni issue would be as far as cooking. Cooking is not an issue, except for the questions they're raising, that now it's going to be even hotter. But that's not cooking, because it's similar to what she wanted to know, that if it's fully cooked, then as long as it doesn't cool off first, then we say there's no issue as far as bishul. So the fact that now it's a klisheni, and now you're putting it back into a klirishon, that's not a problem at all. The only problem would be what we call pina mamecham lamecham, which means that the regular chazara issues that we have to discuss as far as taking off and putting back. So how about if I don't put it back to the same original place, but I put it back to a different place, which is exactly this example. I take it from the urn and I take it off, so to speak, into the cup, and then I put it into a different heating element, which is the crock pot. That is what we call, does that fit into the regular rules of chazara? I had in mind and I didn't put it down, of course, I'm still holding the cup. That is a machlekes. Shai Tzion says you could be make, so that's why we say you are allowed to put it into a cup if you need to. But as far as bishul, oh, it's a klisheni, that's not an issue whatsoever, because the water was totally still hot. I know you're waiting for a question. That was what you wanted to ask?
Yeah, and is there any difference if it becomes a klisheni and change that at anything?
Not if it's still hot. Not as far as this issue. Bez Hashem, next time we're going to discuss klirishon, ir klirishon, klisheni, klishlishi. But as far as bishul, when we discuss klisheni, klishishi, those are all bishul issues. Here, bishul is not an issue, as far as unless the examples they gave. If the water already reached its fully hottest point, it's fully cooked. Now it cooled off. It didn't cool off. Even if it's a klisheni, klishlishi, klirivi, the fact of the matter is it didn't cool off. Maybe it doesn't have the power to cook something else. That's in regards to klisheni, klishlishi, and klirivi, and things like that. But as far as cooling off, it's not cooled off, right? So as far as putting it back now to another heating element, that's not an issue, right? You know the story about the lady who asked her husband to get on Shabbos to get her a cup of tea. So he gets her a cup of tea, and while he's giving her the tea, he trips and he spills the water on her, and she starts screaming. And she's like, "Ay, it's so hot." She's like, "What's the big deal? It's a klishlishi. It's not a problem." So, but the fact of the matter is that it's still hot. So as far as bishul, then it's not an issue. Okay? It's 10 o'clock, so we're going to stop here. Next time, Bez Hashem, we'll discuss example number 5 as far as covering pots and closing the oven doors. And Bez Hashem will continue in regards to Ein Bishul Ach HaBishul.